been kind of a hassle. But what I am going to talk about today is some stuff we're doing at Purdue in phenotyping. In this case, we're going to talk about calculating intra-row plant spacing metrics from UAV imagery. So the author list here is pretty extreme, but that's because the work is done by about 90% engineers and 10% crop scientists, and we have to give due credit where it's due. So. Intra-row plant spacing metrics provide some information to us, whether you're in research or production agriculture. It's insights into field and research plot quality, feedback on field equipment performance, and explanations for crop responses. So if you have a bad crop response, for example, in corn, maybe it's due to some plant spacing problems. Current techniques, I think, as we all know, are laborious, they're slow, they're costly, they're error-prone. And what's the status quo for taking plant-to-plant spacing measurements? It's typically go out there with a meter stick, send a crew of people out there, and have them record a lot of stuff. And it's not necessarily the best way to do it. So the objective of this part of our study was to use a UAV, a low-cost, high-quality RGB sensor, RGB in red, green, blue, just your typical Sony camera, as you see in the upper right-hand corner there. And the advanced technology really comes down to the image processing side and some of our modeling work there. And so this was done in sorghum, but as you'll see, sorghum, quite young, looks a lot like corn, so it does have some applicability elsewhere. First, it's basically three steps here. We could break this down a lot more, but the first one, of course, is data acquisition. We use a rotary wing UAV, the DJI Phantom. I'll show you the RGB sensor in a second. And then, of course, we chose very specifically how fast and how high we want to fly. Data processing, there's a lot there. We do a lot of quality control work, a lot of calibration of the sensors and such, and then we spend a lot of time georeferencing, so much so that we know where our individual plants are within about 0.75 centimeter accuracy. So an extreme amount of time on the geomatic side. And then we go through feature extraction where we mask the plants off the soil background, model their location, and then calculate the distances. So I'm just going to jump right to the results. This is what our field looks like. This is one typical plot where we have both some good results and some crummy results, frankly. So what we do is we do feed the algorithms some prior information on stand counts, and then based on our modeling work, our algorithms go and they look for the center of the mass of the plants, but they also look at the angularity of the leaves and where the leaves are pointing. That is, are they pointing to the whorl, so as to find the center of mass. So there are multiple techniques at work here. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. What you see at the top, obviously, is the spacing mean for that row. On the bottom is the spacing standard deviation. Both are relatively easily calculated once you know the pixel size and how many pixels and stuff like that. Again, here are the metrics for this one particular image up here in the right, July 21. It's a Sony Alpha 7R camera. Pretty much anybody can get that. I think it's $1,800. The S1000 is a little more expensive, but not out of reach, and then you see our flight parameters there. So what went right and what went wrong? On the left is what went wrong. When you feed it some prior information, if you, for example, have planter files, let's say, that you know how many seeds you dropped in a research plot, you could dump that into here, into our algorithms, and it could help you determine some of these values. The problem is, if your algorithm is not trained properly, it starts trying to recognize plants that are possibly large and assigning them to plants, for example, giving it a count twice. Leaf overlap was causing some problems in this case. And in so doing, it started missing some smaller plants right above that in a smaller circle. And then even if you look farther up the row, we have another problem there. Another problem is over here in the yellow. These plants are just extremely small, and our models simply have trouble finding them. Now, on the right is how things should go. You can see every plant is properly identified. Why is that? Well, the plants are relatively similar in size and shape, and they're spaced somewhat reasonably well. This is actually a pretty poorly planted plot, frankly. And if you did plant, like in row 12 there, you would probably have much better results. So what are some benefits of this? Well, when it's finished, and it is getting closer to finish, like I said, the first iteration of the algorithm was to look for plant mass centers. Then we added the leaf technique, and from then we're going to go to whorl identification. And then I'll talk here in the next steps in a second. So it's relatively high throughput, low cost. When you consider the cost of a DJI Phantom or any other UAV that can do some good quality data collection and a low-cost sensor, it's really not that much money. And then we just use a flight planner software, and pretty much most anybody can do it. It does have multi-crop capability. At this case, it's pretty much limited to maize and sorghum, but at some point we hope to expand it. It does give you per-plant GPS position up to, like I said, 3/4 centimeter accuracy. And that is not necessarily due to the algorithms so much that find the plant location. It's a lot of the geomatics that come on the front end of that. Again, we spend an inordinate amount of time ortho-rectifying our images and such. Drawbacks. Does omit small plants at this time. Sometimes plants are just too small to see, and I'll talk in a second about how to overcome that. We do have leaf overlap issues. If you have doubles or triples, let's say, in your planter, you're going to have problems with that because they're so tightly bound one to another, but we'll try to get around that. So next steps, and this is really where it comes in. We want to do multi-year site and crop validation. So going into 2017, we'll do that. At some point, we fully intend to go through with sensor fusion. Because we spend so much time on the georeferencing of our imagery, we can stack LiDAR, hyperspec, multispec, and RGB on top of each other within 3/4 centimeter accuracy. And thus, we can pick up on the variety of characteristics from the sensors so to identify those plants. So, for example, if your whorl has a unique spectral signature, the center of the plant, hopefully maybe, let's say, hyperspec can pick up on that and then be complemented by the RGB algorithms we're already running. So that's the idea there. We also want to start feeding more prior information to this. We want to keep putting planter files in there. So, for example, we have an El Mako planter. You pull the planter file off about the as-drop seed number, pump it in there, and it hopefully improves things. And also look at time series imagery. Multiple images stacked over time, including we intend to take this all the way out to flowering, when you can see the panicle, for example, on sorghum, or the tassel on maize, and help that with plant counts as well. So. And I think we know who the early customers of this might be. The seed, the equipment, precision ag industries, public private sector research groups. Oh, and I forgot to add, I really want to talk about today actually doing the plant counting itself. I think there's a lot of interest in that. How many people take stand counts in research plots, and how many farmers would like to know what their as seeded their stands are after seeding, and emergence issues and things like that. We are getting there. We weren't confident in the algorithms for that point yet. So that's also to come. So with that, that's it for that talk. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Hopefully, most of our speakers are here. And I think we can open it for a Q&A session, right? And then you definitely have to stick around for the business meeting. So, Brian, if you could lock the door. Okay. So, yeah.